Of late I heard a ditty was sung in town and city, and it was called The Glory of the West, of a pretty cavalier that song was made, as I did hear, and in my conceit it proved a pretty jest. But if you please to list a while, this ditty sure will make you smile, when I will declare the same of a gallant northern dame, whose virtuous life, her constant love and worth, makes me entitle her the glory of the north. Her husband kept a tavern and a noted cavalier, for being in Pomfret Castle it cost his purse full dear. All the gentry far and near resorted to this cavalier, some for love of him and others for his wife. Although content to all she gave, yet so she would her credit save. Her husband had no cause of jealousy nor strife. All sorts of sexes thither came for to view this comely dame, and some in zeal would try her skill to obtain their wanton will. But if they were uncivil, she cast them for this jeer: I pray, hands off, sir, touch not a cavalier. Though cavaliers are poor, yet honest we'll be, and play our game so fairly, we care not who to see. Look what sight soe'er you be, you're welcome here, be sure, quoth she, and such content as my house can afford, you shall have at your command. But I'd have you understand, I shun your company, and if you were a lord, if you seek to wrong my name, or my credit to defame, by your base uncivility, then I shun your company. For if you seek to wrong my honor so, be sure I then must take you for my husband's foe. Coming or going, a kiss I'll not deny, but otherwise 'tis troublesome, and I do it defy. Thus her virtues and her fame had gained her such an honest name, most of all that country that lived both far and near, that knowing wheresoe'er they went would give the gentry such content as they could have with this northern cavalier. Thus her credit's long set, for she's called the glory of the north, for being such a virtuous wife and leading such a civil life. But yet it cost her husband's purse full dear, for being in Pomfret Castle was proved a cavalier. It cost his wife all the money she could gain, her husband's liberty and freedom to obtain. All the means that she could make, it being for her husband's sake, she thought it not too much that she did do, when her husband she had gained and his freedom had obtained. Thus was her love so constant, firm, and true, which brought them then in death full sore, and chiefly on the maltsman's score, who did on them no pity take, but thought a prize on him to make, or on his wife. Now mark this jest, I pray. The man now had alas, was deceived in his play. Her husband then in prison straight he cast, but this silly maltman did pay for it at last. His wife then hearing of the same, unto the maltman straight she came, and did desire him some course that he would take, that her husband might be free. Quoth he, sweetheart, it is agreed, if that you'll consent to the bargain I will make. So straight he whispered in her ear, and told her that she need not fear, for her husband he would free, if to him she would agree. That is, quoth he, to lodge with me one night, I mean to keep it secret, and your courtesy requite. Your husband cannot know, nor of it understand. Grant but this request, love, and hers by heart and hand. Thus relating of his mind, she thought she fit him in his kind, and out of prison her husband she would bring. To any motion I'll now consent, this knave it seems I must content, and nothing else will please him unless it be that thing. Quoth she, my wits I'll work about, but sure I'll bring my husband out, and yet my credit I will save, but make of him a silly knave. Perhaps he thinks to make of me his whore, but such a trick I'll show him shall pay a maltsman's score, and teach such knaves more wit when once they hear how this maltman was served by an honest cavalier. And to this maltman she replied, "Good sir, your suit is not denied, but which way, I pray, shall my husband, sir, be freed?" Quoth he, "Sweetheart, I mean to make a free acquaintance for thy sake. Grant but my request, and it is done with speed." "Then come at such a night," quoth she, "and drink a pint of wine with me. Then to my chambers you shall go, none of my servants shall it know." This bargain being made, she to the prison went, and there she told her husband all her full intent. Quoth she, "Sweetheart, come out with your keeper such a night. Come up unto my chamber, love, and there claim your right." The time being come, the maltman went, and thought to give this wife content. Then to her chamber he straightway was conveyed. The quittance in his hand he brought to read it, then she him besought. But full little thought he, poor fool, he was betrayed. With her he then began to play, but she desired him for to say, "I'd have you go to bed," quoth she, "if that you mean to sport with me, and such content ere long to you I'll give, just cause you have to think on me as long as you live." He then puts off his clothes and into bed did go. This pretty soul undressed her too, but now begins his woe. Her husband straight began to call, quoth she, "We are undone now all." The maltman hearing that began to sigh for fear. Quoth he, "Where shall I go to hide here in this chest?" Quoth she, "Abide, for there is nothing in it but such clothes I wear." Then in he went, but little thought he to his shame should help be brought. Her husband straight came to the door, "What are you going to bed, you whore? When I'm in prison, cast some money, want to spend. My keeper here wants money, and it's my special friend. Alas, you know, sweetheart, that I have none," quoth she. "I'll search all these coffers here, but I'll find some," saith he. She opened all about the room, but that which was the maltman to come open this, quoth he, "For here the treasure lies." "Sweetheart," quoth she, "pray rest content. If this you see, I shall be shent." The maltman hearing this, the tears ran down his thighs. Before this chest he opened, the maltman lay like one stark dead. Quoth he, "Here is a spirit here, but with my sword I will him wear. Keeper, say thee, here is mine enemy, and I'll be revenged upon him by and by. If that you'll spare my life, sweet sir, I humbly pray. From all your debts I'll clear you, sir, until this present day." He then released him of his debt. This bark was out of prison lit, and well contented to our warrant he was beside. 'Tis thought that maltman dearly paid, because he had the chest bewrayed. How happy is that man has such an honest bride! Near Pomfrontdoor this couple dwell, in London road 'tis known full well. The maltman's friends did me entreat, none of their names I should relate. But to conclude and make an end my song, consider of this jest, you'll say the maltman had wrong. When cavaliers are poor, they by their wits must, but let them still be honest like this northern cavalier.